my pleasure to introduce Congressman Barber. First of all, I just kind of want to absolutely heartfelt appreciation for all of you coming out and being able to meet Congressman Barr and hear about what he's all about. I had the opportunity he's reached out to me several weeks ago, and one thing that I can tell you that he certainly is going to have a work ethic, and he's certainly going to get around, and it's critical to not only know his congressional district, but all of the Commonwealth. So I appreciate him really dedicating part of his campaign to getting to know the entire state. Not just the gold triangle, as we call it, Congressman. So, again, but it's a pleasure for me to introduce. Again, appreciate all of you all coming out. Privilege to be introduced, Congressman Barr.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Gilliam. Senator Richardson, thank you very much for being here. Representative Thomas, Mayor, thank you very much for being here. We've got a lot of distinguished guests and Republican Party leaders. It's an honor to be in your neck of the woods, so to speak. I'm an eighth generation Kentuckian, but I was born and raised in a different part of the state in Lexington. But I've always followed Hoptown, and I've known how important you all are for the Commonwealth, for our economy, the driver of agriculture, really the heart of Kentucky agriculture right here in Christian County, and of course Fort Campbell. As I said, I was born and raised in central Kentucky, raised in the era of Ronald Reagan. And like Reagan and like President Trump, I'm for limited government, free enterprise, and strong national defense. I'm a conservative. And I'm running for the United States Senate because I believe now more than ever we need a proven, reliable, effective American first fighter in the United States Senate. Someone who has President Trump's back. Someone who can hit the ground running on day one. Who has a track record already in the U.S. Congress for delivering over and over again for the people of Central and Eastern Kentucky. I want to take that representational experience statewide and represent all of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. It's been a privilege in my lifetime to represent the 16 counties of Central Kentucky in Congress, to fight alongside President Trump as his chairman of his Kentucky primary campaign in 2024, the first member of the Kentucky federal delegation to endorse President Trump before the primary in 2024, and I want to do that statewide and represent Kentucky. I think we've earned a reputation in the 13 years I've served in the U.S. House as being accessible, responsive, and professional, and kind of a top-notch constituent service. And the reason for that is not me. It's because of the team that we've assembled. And I want to recognize that team, and especially my district director and campaign manager for this U.S. Senate campaign, a Western Kentucky gal, Tatum Dale. Recognize her family, her mom and dad and aunt and cousin who are here right now. And, they're from Hopkinsville and from Murray. And so I had the common sense to hire a district director with a 270 area code. Pretty good. We also have a few other great team members here. Alex Belizzi is my communications director. Amanda Milbert, where's Amanda? She's my finance director, Amanda. And so these people do a great job. And Tatum has assembled a team that over the years has helped us earn support across party lines. Not because Democrats or liberals agree with me, but because we deliver exquisite professional constituent service. We're responsible, we're accountable, and we have work ethic. And that's what you'll get with us if you want us to represent Christian County in the United States Senate, and Todd County in the United States Senate, and Western Kentucky in the United States Senate. Eighth generation Kentuckian, born and bred, love Kentucky, everything about it. My colleagues sometimes make fun of me, especially my Democrat colleagues, because all I ever do in Congress is talk about coal, and Toyota, and Kentucky basketball, and bourbon, and agriculture, and everything that is Kentucky. And I'm proud of that. They can make fun of me all day long. They know every time I'm coming, I'm talking about Kentucky, and I'm a champion for Kentucky. This is home to Fort Campbell. That's a big, big deal. I'm the grandson of two World War II combat veterans, one in the United States Navy, He lost his life early, not in combat, but he lost his life to cancer because he was on a destroyer escorting some of the radioactive material from the Manhattan Project out to the South Pacific. My other grandfather was a battlefield promoted lieutenant colonel at age 21 at the Battle of Baguio in the Philippines. He fought in to liberate New Guinea and the Philippines in World War II. He ultimately became a two-star general, major general in the United States Army, and he was the commander of the 100th Division at Fort Knox for the Kentucky Army Reserves. Military service is in my blood, and I believe in it. And in the service of the people of Central Kentucky, one of the points of pride that I have is over the last 13 years, we've built a tremendous veterans coalition. All branches, all services, all eras, men and women, young and old, and we have representatives from all the VSOs there. We routinely invite the leadership from the Lexington VA Medical Center there. We have a great relationship with the Department of Military Affairs, the Department of Veterans Affairs in Frankfort, and we bring all of these veterans together. Number one, to get ideas from them and get their feedback and to intake casework and make sure that their disability claims or their issues with the VA or their ideas about how to honor our veterans service, that they're taken into account in Washington, D.C. I served on the Veterans Affairs Committee for a term. I served on the Foreign Affairs Committee. The Speaker of the House, two terms ago, put me on the Select Committee on the Strategic Competition with the Chinese Communist Party. So I take this role of national security and this responsibility of caring for and serving our veterans very, very, very seriously. It's in our DNA. As I said before, I'm a conservative. I believe in individual freedom, traditional American values, limited government. I understand, as a former instructor of constitutional law, that our rights come from God, and they do not come from the government. I believe to my core that the government is the servant of the people and not the master of the people. And everything in my service in Washington has been to advance that basic idea that we need to reduce the size and scope of government and be the servant of the people. And in all the things that we've done on the Financial Services Committee, we have advocated for the American dream. That's what I believe, the American dream. That, to me, that's the idea of America. The idea that regardless of the condition of your birth, that doesn't determine the outcome of your life. What should determine the outcome of your life is the ability to have the opportunity, the economic opportunities that and the blessings of liberty that this country has given Americans, and that through hard work, perseverance, and determination, you can make it in this country. We need to restore the American dream. And that's why I support President Trump. That's why I support this agenda, because this agenda and this president is all about making America great again. I believe we need to make America great again through the power of free market capitalism, through unleashing that American dream. And everything we've been doing, the Financial Services Committee and these other committees, has been geared towards that. We want to take that to the United States Senate. I'll give you a little update on what's going on in Washington, but you know what a difference 5 months makes. President Trump is now celebrating his fifth month anniversary of his second term. And I'm here to tell you, because of presidential leadership, the border is closed. And I have been on the front lines in his first term and the second term, fighting for border security, leading the fight with President Trump, and leading the amicus brief, the legal briefs, in court, defending the president's ability and his authorities to build the wall and shut down the southern border. I've been to the border. I've had the endorsement of Customs and Border Protection. And what they told me is we need the wall. And I understand how important legal migrant labor is to agriculture in West Kentucky. And they're not mutually exclusive. And I think securing the border and getting the cartels out, getting the fentanyl out of our country, getting the human traffickers and the criminals out of our country. None of that is inconsistent with the important needs of migrant labor for the horse industry, for the row crops here. And in fact, I think securing the border and this president's border security policies are actually making the are creating the political space for us to streamline legal immigration for Hopkinsville, for Christian County, for West Kentucky, and for the horse industry. Like I said, everything I'm about is about Kentucky. I represent the bourbon industry. In central Kentucky, I represent the bourbon industry. And I do support the president's trade policies. I am a free trader, but I support the president's trade policies because we don't have free trade. We've been ripped off, not only by China, but by many of our allies and partners. You know, India, 1.4 billion people in India. That market is untapped for our bourbon exporters, for our corn growers that support and supply the bourbon industry. In just the first few weeks of President Trump's second term, and I was working with Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, about this, and he's coming to Kentucky to visit our distilleries and visit our corn growers to understand this. But the power of the president's trade policy is this, is that because he's demanding fairness and reciprocity, the potential for opening up export markets to U.S. agriculture producers, the potential to open up export markets to our bourbon producers here in Kentucky is unbelievable. And this is what I was told, that the Indians drink whiskey, but it's that blended imperial scotch from the legacy of the British Empire, and it's horrible. But the sweet the Kentucky corn-based whiskey matches perfectly with the spicy Indian palate. And in just a few weeks' time, with my work with Secretary Lutnick and President Trump, we lowered the tariffs from India from 150% against our bourbon exports to 100, and we're going down to zero. And that's the power of this trade policy, to actually make more free trade, because we're demanding reciprocity and we're opening up export markets for U.S. agriculture producers and Kentucky bourbon producers. So this is what we're aiming for. And then we've got this one big beautiful bill. We've got the deregulation project that's going to unleash American energy dominance again. Kentucky is uniquely poised to be a part of that energy dominance story. Deregulation of financial services to unleash our community banks and our small community-based lenders to help rebuild the American dream for people, whether that's that dream of home ownership or the small business loan. They are the heartbeat of our economy, those community banks, Planners Bank, for example, right here in Hopkinsville. But beyond that, this one big beautiful bill, I think, is jet fuel for the economy.
Yeah.
I told Rand Paul the other day, I am so grateful for his strong support for fiscal responsibility. I ran for Congress 13 years ago for a cause, and that cause was to save America from bankruptcy. On the Financial Services Committee, I see the risk that we have, that we're on the precipice of a debt crisis, that there is weak demand for our treasury bonds. That's a big deal for affordability of everything, right? Because that 10-year treasury is pushing up because people are demanding more yield for our treasuries because we have a downgraded credit rating in the United States. What that means is your mortgage rates are higher. It means your credit card bills are higher. It means your auto loan is more expensive. And we need to get interest rates down. And the best way we can get interest rates down is to start living within our means. So I applaud Rand for trying to send over more spending cuts as part of this one big beautiful bill. But at the end of the day, we have to support this president. We have to pass this one big beautiful bill to stop a $4.5 trillion tax increase. We will never balance the budget. We will never get our fiscal house in order if we go into a recession because taxes are raised on the American people. We need to lock in these tax cuts and expand the tax cuts that we have in this one big beautiful bill that's huge for Western Kentucky agriculture, bonus depreciation, expanding the small business deduction, major expensing for new manufacturing, bringing back manufacturing jobs to our country, bring back agriculture to our country. All of that is in the one big beautiful bill. We also have border security in the bill, energy dominance in the bill, and yes, we get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicaid. I understand that there's a lot of people in Kentucky who need and depend on Medicaid. That's why I'm voting for this bill. Because we don't want illegal immigrants to take away scarce Medicaid dollars from the people who need it. The disabled, the dual eligible elderly, and moms and kids who need that safety net. What we're doing in this bill is strengthening Medicaid as a safety net for the disabled, the indigent, the people who need it. The only people who will see a change with our bill in this, with Medicaid savings that Brett Guthrie next door was able to create in this bill, and he did a great job, is if you're a fraudster, if you're enrolled in multiple states and you're gaming the system, if you're an illegal immigrant, you're no longer going to be eligible for Medicaid, and if you're an able-bodied, work-capable adult without dependents. I think the hard-working taxpayers of Western Kentucky deserve a Medicaid system that's not rife with waste, fraud, and abuse. So we are on the precipice. We've got a few details to work out between the Senate and the House, and I'm going to support this president and get the fifth bill done. And I think we're on the precipice, by the way, of getting and on track to get that bill across the finish line before Independence Day. You all are following what's happening, especially with Fort Campbell and the vicinity, what's happening overseas. I'm on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and I believe strongly that we have an obligation in this country to defend our greatest ally, the democracy and the state of Israel. I am pro-Israel, and I'm pro-Israel because I'm pro-America. If you want to be America first, you need to stand with Israel. We don't want wars. We don't want to start wars. I'm not a neocon, but I am a peace through strength guy. And I believe what Benjamin Netanyahu said in a joint address to the United States Congress a few years back, I believe it to my core, that Israel's enemies are our enemies. And when the tyrants in Tehran call for the destruction of the state of Israel, in the same breath they chant death to America. A nuclear Iran is not just a threat to the state of Israel, it is a threat to the United States and our national security. And so we need to stand with Israel. Look at what the Iranians are doing. As the Israelis are engaged in precision strikes against ballistic missiles and against nuclear facilities that are designed for nuclear weapons, the Iranians are targeting children's hospitals in Israel. That is the difference between us and them. And we need to stand with Israel. I'm on the Select Committee on the Strategic Competition with China. We have a big national security challenge ahead of us in the next several decades with China. They want to dominate in the critical technologies of the future, whether it's artificial intelligence, quantum computing, hypersonics, microelectronics, the semiconductors. They have academic espionage. They're flying spy balloons over our country. Thank God we have a president in Donald Trump who is the first president of my lifetime who is taking the threat from China seriously. With President Trump, no more spy balloons coming over Fort Campbell. No more deadly Chinese fentanyl coming across our southern, open Biden southern border. And no more unfair trade practices. This president is taking the threat from China seriously. I've been in the Navy P-8 over the South China Sea. I've seen what the People's Liberation Army Navy is doing. They're militarizing the South China Sea to cut off our resupply of Taiwan. And it's not just about their historic grievances with the nationalists in Taiwan. They want Taiwan. And Xi Jinping said very seriously that they're going to be ready by 2027 for a cross-strait invasion. When I talk to Admiral Paparo and Indo-PACOM, they take this threat very, very seriously. I've been to Taiwan twice. I've been to the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Facility. They want Taiwan not just because they want reunification from the Mao Revolution. They want it because 90% of the world's advanced semiconductors, the 2 to 3 nanometer chips that go into power artificial intelligence, they are made in that island democracy of Taiwan. We cannot allow that to happen. And Kentucky is in a unique position to help the United States win the race for AI against China. What do we do well here? We do energy well, whether it's ethanol or nuclear in Paducah or coal in West and East Kentucky or gas. We've got hydro. We've got a lot of floods. We can harness hydro. We are positioned to power the data centers to give us the edge in artificial intelligence. And we have the skills, whether it's the agricultural workers or the manufacturing workers, to build the data centers. So I think my vision for Kentucky is that we can take these strengths that we've had, these legacy industries that will always be with us, strengthen them, bring them back, more manufacturing, more energy, and use that to power the technologies and the industries of the future, including artificial intelligence. And so that's what I want to do. Look, I am pro-gun, pro-life, pro-veteran, and pro-law enforcement. That's who I am, and I'm for limited government. I've got a perfect rating from National Right to Life and the National Rifle Association. My Veterans Association shows where I am. And also on law enforcement, we've been fortunate enough to get the Fraternal Order of Police endorsement every term I've been in Congress. So what I want to do today is I want to take your questions. I want to learn more about you guys. I've decided to enter into this race for the United States Senate, like I said, because I think President Trump needs an America First fighter in the United States Senate, and someone who can hit the ground running. Ultimately, this is not about winning an election. It's really not. It's not about making sure that there's just a guy with an R behind their name who wins an election. I know why you guys are involved in the party and why you all are interested in this race. You're interested in this race because you don't want to lose a voice in the United States Senate. You want to win this election not just because you're on the red team. You want to win this election because you want to save this country. And I've got, the reason why I'm running ultimately is because of three people, Eleanor, Mary Clay, and Hale, my three kids. The American dream means passing on a better, brighter, more prosperous future for our kids and grandkids. That's why I'm doing this, and I want to do this. And we owe it to our philosophy. If you think about it, you guys are committed to this cause. That's why you're here this morning, the middle of the morning. You want to win. You owe it to your philosophy to win. And there is only one way, I would submit respectfully, there's only one way that a Democrat can win statewide in Kentucky. Let's face it, this is how our governor won. Our governor won the governor's mansion twice because he won the Central Kentucky Congressional District. The first time he won the 6th Congressional District, the district I represent, by beating Governor Bevin in my district. And the second time he won my district after redistricting by 19 points. We cannot risk losing this seat in the United States Senate. We cannot risk putting Chuck Schumer in charge of the United States Senate. We cannot risk putting Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in charge of the United States Senate. So if you want an America First proven conservative, a reliable voice who has been there, who understands how to get things done for Kentucky, and if you want to win, I can block their path. I will not lose my district, the one swing district in Kentucky. So thank you all very much for hearing me out. Thanks for being in the fight to save this country with me. And I invite your questions, and I'd love to hear from you. So thank you very much. All right.
Congressman.
Yes, sir.
So our legislators in Kentucky have done an excellent job, even with the idiot that sits in the governor's position. So they've made the hard choices. They've brought our taxes down. Our income tax continues to drop to zero. With this happening, Fort Campbell is actually, people are moving into Christian County and Todd County, Petrae, and everywhere around us. But to get service for our veterans, they have to go to Montgomery County in Tennessee. Why can't we have something here?
Meaning no VA. No substantial VA
right,
services.
Exactly.
Well, so when I was a member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Phil Rowe was the chairman from Tennessee. We talked a lot about the differences between the services in Tennessee versus the services in Kentucky. And thank goodness, Senator, you guys are doing great work. By the way, Grover Norquist with Americans for Tax Reform, he talks to me about you all the time. He talks to me about you, Representative Thomas. He talks to me about you guys and the great job you guys are doing putting us on that glide path. And I love how Robert Stivers talks about all the great things that have happened during Governor Beshear's administration, but not because of Governor Beshear.
Right.
It's because of you guys. And so that's going to change because of just exactly what you said. But we need better services, obviously, for those veterans if we're going to attract them across the border and make them stay here in Kentucky. Economic activity, making us competitive is one thing, but also those services. When I was in the House Veterans Affairs Committee with Phil Rowe, we did a good thing. We passed legislation that would expand care in the community, give veterans choices, so that there was long waiting lines at the VA. Our veterans could go and get non-VA care. Private providers care. Now, the implementation of that, admittedly, has not been smooth. We need to continue to implement it better so that veterans have choices. Yes, we want to and fund the VA and make sure that they have all the services that they need. But if they can't get the services, veterans need to be able to go access private health care and get the services they need in a timely manner. We're blessed in Central Kentucky. We have a very good VA there. We get relatively good feedback from our veterans about what we've done there. But if we need satellites, if we need, this is our vision, the same vision. So if we need to get more outpatient clinics, more clinics that are connected to our VA, especially in this area, there's a veteran, a strong veteran area, let me know. We've got this new VA going up in Louisville. Which is, looks like a beautiful, very expensive facility.
Over budget.
Yeah, a lot over budget.
Three times, right?
Right. By the way, the very first cabinet member of the Trump administration to visit my district was Doug Collins, who I serve with, the new VA secretary. He's a good friend of mine. So is Sean Duffy, so is Christy Hill. I know a lot of them because I serve with them. But I'll bring Doug Collins to Hopkinsville.
Okay.
So you let me know, we'll figure it out.
All right. Thank you.
When are you going to put Fauci in jail? When are you going to put that Mr. Fauci in jail?
Fauci.
Yeah.
Fauci in jail. Well, thanks to Rand Paul. He's done a great job on oversight there. And your congressman, Jamie Comer. I don't have that jurisdiction, but I support their efforts. I support their efforts, absolutely. You know, we've learned a lot because of Rand's oversight. We've learned a lot because of Jamie's oversight in exposing all of it. And I'll tell you, the China Select Committee, we've done some work on this too, about gain of function. And I think the American taxpayers should be alarmed and outraged that American tax dollars were going to the Wuhan Institute of Virology to weaponize a bioweapon against the United States.
I understand there's a new technology in the world to drive technology. And most countries all over the world send their most intelligent people here for education, and then they're employed by people here and everything. And this immigration policy is there an effort to retain these technology people and educated people here for all of these rather than sending the technology back?
Yeah. Absolutely. So when we secure the border and we're on our way. And by the way, remember what Biden said? Biden said the only way we can secure the border is a big comprehensive amnesty bill. That's the only way we can secure the border. Well, he was wrong. It just required a president. So in the big beautiful bill, we're going to surge more resources there. And I think when we secure the border and get rid of the bad people, the criminals, the cartel members, the human traffickers, and it's a tragedy what's going on. Then we can do the things that we need to do to be that beacon of hope and that American dream for legal immigrants. This is a country of immigrants. This is a nation of immigrants. But it's also a nation of laws. And when people come to our country legally, what we want are people who, when there's the Pledge of Allegiance, they put their hand over their heart and they pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And the people you're describing are those type of people. So we can streamline the immigration policies for the highly skilled and for the workers we need in agriculture and in the horse industry And there's a lot of things we can do, and doing those things with a secure border are not mutually exclusive.
We've got time for one more question.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Congressman. Thanks for coming out. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming out. We appreciate your skills. So, personally, I think Mitch McConnell has let down some of us, that are conservatives. And so, the burning question on some conservatives' minds, I think, is why you were so comfortable kind of doing a 180, because you used to be more connected and aligned, I think, with McConnell. And so, your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I have a great relationship with all members of the Kentucky delegation. We work together as a team. We also have divided our jurisdiction responsibilities for Kentucky, and I think that collaboration has helped. You know, for example, the Energy and Commerce Committee, Brett Guthrie, is leading that. Your congressman obviously has a great experience in agriculture and is doing a great job with oversight. Hal Rogers is our appropriator. I'm Financial Services Committee and Foreign Affairs Committee. So we've divided responsibility. People have asked me ever since I was first elected to Congress, are you a Rand Paul Republican or are you a Mitch McConnell Republican? People around the country, they see Kentucky and they see the differences between our senators. With all respect to both Senator McConnell and Rand Paul, and Senator Paul, I'm neither. I'm an Andy Barr Republican. That's who I am. And what does that mean? That means that I am for limited government, I'm for free enterprise, I'm for free market capitalism, I'm for fiscal responsibility, I'm for a strong national defense, I'm pro-life, I've got a 100% rating from the National Rifle Association, I'm an advocate for our veterans, and I back the blue. That's who I am. And I get things done. I have a track record. It's, I think, very important when you consider this primary, the fact that we are losing influence. So what do you want to replace? Do you want someone who can hit the ground running with a proven track record, who knows, has existing relationships with the other senators? I think I can bring a level of influence to the Senate on day one and can hit the ground running on day one. Thank you all very much. Stay in touch with me. We're going to be back a lot, and we can't wait to be down at Fancy Farm in early August. So if you want to come down, we're going to continue to share our vision. But you're going to get with me accessibility and work ethic. Stay in touch with our team. Tatum Dale is our campaign manager, and we've got a whole team that will be down here quite a bit. We're looking forward to get back to Western Kentucky in August. I've got to go back to D.C. because I have this day job, but we're going to continue to work hand in glove with the Trump administration to get this agenda passed. Thanks so much. Thank you.